Harios Perik Base, Mishnah Hey 2:5. The Mishnah is continuing. We're going to be comparing, contrasting the obligations of the regular person with the king, known as the Nasi, the Kol Mashiach, and the obligation for a Parhelim Davar for the Sanhedrin. And we're going to be talking here in this Mishnah about when the Aver at hand is one that would be Machayev, a Chatas Olav Yored, the variable sin offering. So let me just say this outside first so we don't get bogged down by the words. There are essentially three categories of averas for which one brings a olav yored, the variable sin offering. They are referred to in our Mishnah as shmias hakol, which means literally means hearing the voice. This is referring to the voice of adjuration, and it's called shvuas ha'edus in other contexts. The idea is that if a person has testimony but swears he doesn't have testimony that could have helped his friend collect some financial thing in a court case, so he lied, and later on he admits he lied and wants to do tshuva, so he brings this special offering, the olav yored. The second is called the bitui sfasayim, which means an utterance of the lips. Again, the same way that shmias kol is really a reference to the pasuk, all these are in the beginning of the fifth parak of Vayikra. The pasuk for shmias kol says, "V'nefesh ki secheta v'shama kol Allah." So shema kol Allah means he heard the voice of the curse, the adjuration. Similarly, bitu sasayim, an utterance of the lips, because the pasuk says, "O nefesh ki sishava livate b'sfasayim." He swears to articulate with his lips, lahara lahetev, to do bad or good, literally, do or not do something. So the bitus hasayim is the shvuas bitui elsewhere. It means one swears, taking a formal shvua, an oath, that he either will or will not do something, or that he did or did not do something, and that oath is false, either because he really did what he said he didn't do, or he really does what he said he won't do, or doesn't do what he said he will do, etc. So that's the second thing. And if one essentially makes his oath false, then he has to bring the olav yored, the variable offering. And the third thing, we've already seen this before, is tumas mikdav ukadashav, going into the base of mikdash while tame, or eating kachim while tame. We're repeating that because we're going to bring machlokas in this mishnah here. So those are the three averas for which one brings the olav yored, the variable sin offering, which means again you bring a sheep or goat female if you can afford it. If you can't afford it, you bring two birds, either tur, which are like turtle doves, or bnei yona, baby pigeons. And if you can't afford even that, you bring the minchas chote. It's a simple meal offering made of flour, an eighth of flour, tenth of an eighth of flour, excuse me. So the Mishnah here says inside, ein chayavin al shmias hakol v'al bitus v'asayim v'al tumas mikdash ukadashav. They, meaning the bezdin, the Sanhedrin, in other words, and the Kohen Mashiach, if they, either those two, made a ruling, and the ruling was wrong, but it was carried out, in case of the Sanhedrin, by the people, if in case of the Kohen, anointed Kohen, by himself, and the Avera had to do with one of these crimes, so then there's no, like, Parhelim Davar, the equivalent brought for these crimes, and similarly there's no special Chatas brought by the Kohen Mashiach, if he made a Shigas Din, he made a mistake in this Pesach and followed it, regarding Tuma or swearing regarding testimony and so on. Further says the Mishnah, Vahanasi Kayotzi Behen. A king, the Nasi means the person who's most elevated in society, the top dog, only answers to Hashem, if you will. So he's like them, Divrei Rabbi Yosi Aglili. And Rabbi Yosi Aglili holds that a king, like a Kohen Mashiach, never brings an olav yored. It's not a thing. Now the reason why is Rabbi Yosi Aglili holds that since the olav yored offering talks about if a person can't afford to bring, suggesting he's poor, right? So in that scenario, since he can't afford it, lo tasig yado or lo sagia yado, the two expressions used, that's not applicable to a king because he's going to be the top dog and therefore not he has access to money, he can't be poor. And a kohen gadol, he can't be poor because his requirements to promote the kohen gadol to make sure he's wealthy, he has to be raised above his brother. A kohen gadol me'achiv, from the head of his brothers, benoi, bekoach, bechochma, uva, osher, these four different criteria, including osher, wealth. So he has to be given wealth, so there's no such a possibility of the kohen gadol being poor, and therefore there's no possibility of a kohen gadol, like a king, bringing a variable sin offering, just doesn't apply to him, again, exegetically, based on psukim. It's not logic, it's a psukim, but that's the idea. That's Rosh Hashanah Shita. By the end, we're going to have essentially four shitas on how to detail who brings what regarding olav yoreds and how it's a little complicated. This is Rabbi Yosef Lili, not lahalacha. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Rabbi Kiva says, Hanasi chayev bakulan chutz mishmias hakol. He says that the nasi, the king, in fact, will bring a olav yored under normal circumstances. Like, for example, if you're talking about he swears falsely in a shuas bitui, or it goes to the temple when he's tamei and so on, but not for shmias kol, meaning not if he suppresses testimony. Why? Shemelech lo dan v'lo dan noso, lo meid v'lo meid noso. This is really a quote from the Mishnah in Sanhedrin, that there's a din d'rabbanan, that a king doesn't sit in judgments or get judged, nor does he testify regarding somebody else or have testimony brought against him or for him. The reason for this din d'rabbanan is because since the time of Yanai HaMelech, Alexander Yanai, he was flouted the courts and basically said, what are you going to do about it? We're afraid that if the king gets judged but then won't listen to the judgment of the Sanhedrin, like undermines the legitimacy of the Sanhedrin, therefore we're not going to let that happen again. He doesn't sit in judgment because we're afraid that people will be afraid to contravene him, the king, and I'll have to contravene the king, and then you won't listen to him, and then that was no good. Similarly, he won't testify because that actually could be a deraisa. There's a requirement to show kavod to the king, a separate requirement all to itself. The base of that is the pasuk, which says, Som tasim alecha melech, you'll place a king above yourself, and that's sort of demeaning to the king. It detracts from his kavod to have him function as someone else's aide. Therefore, the king never testifies, and since the king can't sit and be judged, aid me eden oso, we're not going to testify about him. It's not relevant. So the point is that since there's no, says Rabbi Akiva, since there's no possibility of a king testifying and bringing, so therefore, and serving in a court, so therefore there's no such thing as him being liable for suppressing testimony since he couldn't give useful testimony anyways. Again, we'll see the halacha is more complicated and not for right now, but that's the end of that Mishnah. We'll see the other shitas and some of the halacha at the end of the perek after Mishnah Zion.